to Unscripted Wrestling, most controversial wrestling podcast in the world. I'm your host, Daniel Hummer, here with Eric, Doug, and Clinton. How's everyone doing tonight?
Good. Clinton is not on yet. He'll be here soon.
And before we do anything here, I want us to take a moment of silence for George Floyd. R.I.P. All right, now let's continue on with the show. Today we have All Elite Wrestling, the AEW retrospective, a year in review perhaps, and also a discussion about the brand, the company. Doug, yep. You want to get the plugs out of the way?
Sure, since you handed me the phone. All right, so listen to Anthony Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday and Friday night, 10 o'clock Eastern Time, Mixlr.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. And also, they do a show every other Saturday called the Hollywood Hangout, Mixlr.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. They might have something planned for this Sunday for NXT TakeOver In Your House.
What, Sunday? Shit.
Yeah. Don't shit here. Well, I mean, you could shit at your house. That's fine. Your parents have to clean it up. Or just get one of the 37 butlers you have to do it. I was plugging somebody. So they'll probably have something planned for either after or during NXT TakeOver In Your House. Listen to us every Friday night for the regular Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Next week, we are going to do a wrestling tier list. We'll have a poll up. I don't know what the options actually are going to be on the poll yet, because there's a poll up because each one of us came up with a few options. I put a poll up in the Old School Wrestling group on Facebook. Only 3 people voted. What a lazy bunch of bastards are in that group. 3,600 lazy pieces of shit. Can't even take the time to vote on a fucking poll. It had to be only 3 of you.
And one of them is me.
The rest of you were probably, yeah, the rest of you were too busy masturbating. Now, if any of you listen to this podcast, I kid. If you don't listen to this podcast, fuck you. All right. Also, Unscripted Wrestling every Friday, usually around 8 o'clock Eastern time. Sometimes maybe later. It depends on work schedules. All right. Also, our This Week in Wrestling show. We will have it this Sunday. It might be a little earlier, probably about 4 o'clock Eastern time, because then we are going to make room. We are going to be debuting a new show on Sundays, and I'm going to hand the phone over to Mr. Grabby.
A.K.A. Big Pimpin'. And my new podcast, our new podcast, will be completely away from wrestling. It's not going to be like Unscripted Wrestling or This Week in Wrestling. Our new podcast is called the Top Tier Podcast. We're going to start ranking a bunch of different stuff, and it's going to be a good time. We're going to have different guests, friends, you know. It's going to be a good conversation. And this week, our first tier list we'll be doing is NFL teams. So we will be ranking all of the NFL teams and putting them in
all
the
time?
Tier list. No, it's
all 32 teams based on their legacy.
Okay.
2 teams right now. So we won't be doing the Oilers or whatever.
Well, the Houston Oilers are basic. They're the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah. So it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a fun podcast. The week after that, we're going to be doing Hostess and Snack Cakes. Actually, we're not doing that.
Yeah, no, because I can't make that one.
Because Doug had to fuck us over. So, we got the new show.
I think it's my fault that they're scheduling me at night. I think it's because they don't want a certain somebody working for working at night. They'd much rather have me.
Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's our new show, the Top Tier Podcast.
No, Eric, I'm not talking about you. You haven't been to work in years.
I know who you're talking about. I think I know. Besides
I don't give a shit. We're running a podcast. Shut up with your work job, Doug. Fair enough. So, yeah, that's the new show.
That's one thing I don't miss.
So,
Party extended leave.
So, we have the new podcast this Sunday, and that'll be a good time. And, Doug, I'm going to pass it to you before you interrupt me again.
Okay.
Actually, I'm going to lead in the topic.
I was just going to say, the plugs are done. What the fuck do you need to do?
So, AEW, a year in review, but basically a retrospect, because I want to start at a couple different levels here, guys. And one thing I really want to get into, because I want to get into the pros and cons, what they're doing good, what they're not doing good. Let's start at Double or Nothing last year. And we're not really going through a timeline. Eric, when you saw their first show, did you know they were going to be something?
Yeah. I enjoyed the first show. It felt fresh, felt new, especially all the wrestlers that we've seen before, but it just felt different.
How about you, Doug?
I didn't know if it was going to be anything, but I was interested to see what these guys were going to be able to do. I really didn't have high expectations for them because I don't trust a man with mutton chops. Matt Jackson. Okay, I can't fucking stand him. To be honest with you, at that particular point in time, I really didn't even like Cody either. Thought his wife was a gold digger. And I thought the guy that owns the company is just a guy that owns a failing football franchise that's probably going to be out of business in 5 years. So I did not have high expectations. But then that first show aired, and, that I was just like, wow, this was actually really good. So I was pleasantly surprised.
Well, let's start with the guy, Tony Khan, a young entrepreneur. His dad owns the Jaguars, so you were wrong about that, Doug. And he's basically the guy running AEW. He's the head honcho. And then you got the four EVPs, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, and Cody. Do you think so far that they've used their position and power for good, Doug? Or do you think, because a lot of people thought that they were going to WCW this thing. Do you think that they've been selfish at all, or do you think that they've been the opposite?
I think that they've gone over when they've needed to go over, and they've put guys over when they've had to put them over. The only time I've disagreed with one of their booking decisions is when Cody beat Sean Spears. It's the only thing I've disagreed with.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think they've been fine.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because
I can agree with that.
The Young Bucks haven't won. The Young Bucks, were putting guys over. I mean, I think they were stupid for putting over Santana and Ortiz, but that's just because I don't like Santana and Ortiz. I don't like Ortiz. I don't have an issue with Santana. Ortiz is a mutt that needed to be put down a long time ago. I mean, Jesus Christ, the guy foams at the mouth every time we see him on TV. You would think he just got done licking Jericho's crotch. And he may have. Hager would have had to make room for him, though. But, the thing is, but yeah, I do think that the four of them
have, you know, put other people obviously in front of them, and they've done a good job at that. I don't think they've abused their power. I thought they were going to WCW it too. I thought the Bucks were going to be champions by now.
Yeah.
And I would have had to bail Kenny Lehman out of jail.
Yeah, and the only one who's actually, well, Cody's got gold now. And I think it's time for Cody to get gold, so I'm okay with that.
Would that even be considered gold, though? The fucking thing isn't.
Yeah, the thing isn't finished, but.
It's more like a.
Silver?
It's more like platinum.
Yeah. So the thing with Cody, though, is I think it was long overdue. I think he needed to get a title at some point. Omega, I'm cool with holding the tag belts because him and Adam Page are a good team. And Omega, I think, has been very selfless. You know, Omega took a lot of big losses, and a lot of people said that was stupid of him and it hurt his career. I think it did the opposite. I think the losses that – I mean, his loss to Moxley was necessary because look what happened to John Moxley. He blew up.
Yeah,
after also forking over $10,000.
Yeah.
He lost to the two first champions. Wait, did he face Jericho yet? Didn't.
Yeah, he fought Jericho with Double or Nothing last year.
Okay,
Yeah, and to that point, I think a lot of people criticize Cody for putting himself in that title match at Full Gear, or not Full Gear, at All In. Not All In. Oh, yeah, it was Full Gear, right?
Yeah, Full Gear
in November.
But he also lost and then took away the chance for him to ever win the title. So I think he's proved that he's very selfless. I think they've all proved that. And
Even Brandy.
And when we get to Brandy, we got to talk, because we're going to talk about good things, a lot of good things today. We're also going to talk about bad things, because no company is perfect, and AEW is no exception. I am a huge fan. Eric, I know you're a huge fan, and I know Doug enjoys the product. But we would be stupid if we didn't say that there was things that aren't good about it, too, because there is, which goes with any wrestling product. One of those things, while we were talking about Brandy, let's talk about the failed kind of initiative, the starting plan for her with the Nightmare family or whatever the hell, what was it called?
Nightmare Collective.
Now, what's QT Marshall and Dustin Rhodes, their tag team?
They're the Natural Nightmare.
Natural Nightmare. Okay, so the Nightmare Collective. Her thing with Austin had potential. She was cutting girls' hairs off in this big knife. And then you brought in that Mel, who really didn't make sense. Mel couldn't,
I don't even think she's with the company anymore.
Yeah, and she couldn't work at all, really. Doug, why did the Nightmare Collective fail?
It was a dumb idea. Coming out and cutting the girl's hair. I mean, they did it to Bea Priestley. That went nowhere. Went to Allie. Allie just turned into the bunny. And Allie turns into the bunny, manages yours and mine's doppelgangers. Okay?
You're right.
And they debut by attacking Cody, and nobody could figure out why. And I'm screaming at the TV that night. I'm like, of course she turned. Cody was just like, I don't know what their issue is. And I'm like, I do. The bitch went after you because your dumbass wife cut her hair. Anybody could have seen that, but because it wasn't necessarily part of the storyline, they ignored it. So that was stupid. And then, you know, they tried to kind of make this into the female straight edge society. Okay. In a way they did. And Brandi Rhodes is not CM Punk. She's better looking. Okay. Better butt. Okay.
I don't know. CM Punk's thick.
But CM Punk, she is not. So it failed because, and again, like, there was some potential there, you know, to feud with Statlander. But the issue is, it was Statlander and Sheeta. The issue is that Mel could not work worth a damn. If they would have gotten somebody in there that could team with Kong, that could take the bumps,
yeah,
it probably would have worked. See, Brandi can't really take bumps that well either. It's not that she doesn't try.
Yeah, she's not the best one.
Yeah, and she knows that, and I think that's why she's just like, okay, I'm gonna step aside here. I'm gonna go back in the office, and I'm just gonna let, you know, or, you know, I'll accompany Dustin and QT to ringside and watch them lose the majority of their matches. But I'm not going to be, like, prominently featured.
Well, and here's why I think it failed. To me, it's kind of like Macho Man to Miss Elizabeth to a degree, to where when you see them apart, it just feels weird. And especially in the same company. When you see, I just put Cody and Brandi together because that's just how I see them. You know, not only because they're married, it's just that's how I, especially following him in Ring of Honor and stuff, the shit he did after WWE, Brandi was always right there. So I always kind of just think of her with him. Yeah. So the fact that they're on the same show now, everyone still knows they're married, but she's doing this weird shit with Awesome Kong, some bitch that can't work, and a fucking bald Gangrel does not make any sense to me. While Cody's off, and the only person he trusts to be in his corner at Full Gear is MJF, the biggest piece of shit in all of humanity. I even think he beats out Hitler. And,
well, technically, by world history, Hitler should have beat him.
Okay. But,
God,
we're not going to make it to the top tier. But, it just didn't make sense, you know, for her to be doing something else not with Cody. And I don't want to pigeonhole them and put them in that box, but it's kind of, they're in that box, and that's just how it is. Like, I think she could probably, and I like her with Dustin, too. Even though it's kind of weird because her and Dustin, I mean, Dustin said before he doesn't like her. I think he was just joking, but. And it was also like
he
a promo.
Married Terry Runnels, for fuck's sake. I think I'm taking all the heat off of Drew Brees.
So and let's be honest, Dustin and QT aren't a tag team that's going to do anything. But it's a spot, and I think they fulfill the
spot.
They're
main eventing every episode of Dark every week.
And I love Dustin Rhodes. And so it's fun seeing. I like her as a manager. And she's good as a heel manager with Cody, too. But even as the good guy role, and she's doing her, like, she did the bumps for Jake the Snake and stuff, and even though Jake got a lot of heat for that, the fact that she went through with letting that happen, she's a trooper. She will do whatever it takes to put on a good show, or at least it seems like it. So I know she's gotten hate, at least from Doug, before, and you can say whatever you want about her, but it seems like she is dedicated to all Elite Wrestling, just like the four EVPs.
Yeah.
No, she's doing a fine job now.
She wants to see it succeed.
Well, yeah, I mean, every brand, every, like, officer of a major company wants to see that company succeed. Or else, you know.
No, but I'm saying you said you thought she was a gold digger earlier. Yeah. I'm saying I think she really wanted.
I don't think that now.
Okay.
I think I thought that before. Mainly because I don't think you can really trust women. But Drew Brees, you're welcome. But now I think, you know, she is very genuine. She's got a hell of a cooking show on AEW's channel.
Yeah.
Shot of Brandi. And it's a woman that she has even admitted she can't cook, but, you know, she's, you know, doing episodes with, you know, certain talent, and they're making stuff, and it's funnier than all hell to watch. She just did an episode, I think it was last week, with Orange Cassidy.
And she drinks in that too, right?
Yeah. That's why it's called a shot of Brent. They actually drink alcohol while making the food.
Yeah.
But she did an episode with Orange Cassidy that was absolutely hysterical. And that's another motherfucker that he should not be.
We'll get into that. I have kind of a topic designed for that. Well, actually, yeah, let's transition to that. WWE does this weird thing where they have inside jokes, kind of. And inside jokes are a thing in wrestling, and they're not really talked about much, but it's there. You know, and some of WWE's inside jokes of, like, you know, certain catchphrases, like, Booker T, did you tell me he did not just say that? And, you know, other stuff. But the independent inside jokes with AEW that they really try to drive home, like Orange Cassidy, or like what's other like comedy, like other comedy, like the Best Friends are a comedy group with Orange Cassidy, right?
Yeah.
Or Michael Nakazawa, yeah. Stuff like that. Orange Cassidy, he's definitely over. But do you think, like, that stuff has really hit the mark, Doug?
I think so. And this is a guy, he should not be over, but guess what? He is. And the Best Friends, you look at what they did. I mean, they were on that first Double or Nothing show.
Yeah.
And I felt like even though they won, and Helico and Jack Evans were the major stars of that match, because I felt like they made that match. But guess what Angelico and Jack Evans are doing right now?
Jobs.
Yeah, they're doing jobs. They're not really doing shit. And Angelico looks like a gay John Moxley. Jack Evans is just there. It's just like, it's just like, okay. And the Best Friends who, I mean, and then they cooled off for a little while. But now they're back on top and they're hot, and Orange Cassidy is hot. And if they pull the trigger and have him, if he somehow ends up beating Jericho in the near future, one, Jericho has to really be behind this guy.
Yeah.
And two, the company has to really. Orange Cassidy is going to be world champion in 5 years.
That's a fucking hot.
Welcome, Cliff, to the show. Hi, Cliff.
Hey, Cliff.
Hey, what's up, man?
Welcome.
So yeah, and getting into more stuff like that, let's talk about the tag team division, because this is a vast, huge tag. Eric, is this the best tag team division in wrestling?
I think so. I mean, they just added Revival,
FTR.
Whatever you want to call it now. FPR, thank you. So, yeah, I think they are the best. I think they're stacked.
I mean, you got
from top to bottom.
You got them, you got Butcher and the Blade, you got Dustin and QT, Angelico and Jack Evans, you got the Lucha Brothers, you got the Young Bucks, and it's funny because out of all those great teams and more that I didn't name, the tag team champions are kind of a thrown-together team, even though they are in the Elite together. Kenny Omega and Hangman Adam Page are kind of an odd-couple team. Oh, Clintus, do you think that that takes away from all the great teams, or do you think that makes it even better, them being the champions?
I'm thinking it makes them better. I mean, Hangman Page and King and Omega as a really odd couple, but sometimes like the odd couples are the ones that make one of the best tag teams out there that you never see coming. You look at Sheamus and Cesaro, the rivalry they had before they decided to become the Bar, it was amazing. And then once Force were finally came together, it came, nobody saw how good of a tag team they really were.
Yeah, it's true. They are a good team.
They were great together. I mean, they spent almost, what, 3 years together, I think it was?
Yeah.
Two or three years.
They were great for those 3 years, so I agree with that point. And you got to look at other teams that were just kind of thrown together. Kane and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And the mileage you got out of that. Rock and Sock.
Yep.
The mileage you got out of that. Here's an old one. Yokozuna and Owen Hart. The only thing the two of them had in common was
Jim Cornette.
The only thing they had in common was the fact that they both had a match with Owen's brother Brett at WrestleMania 10.
And they had X-Pac and Kane.
Yeah, X-Pac and Kane, Rob Van Dam and Kane. I mean, Kane's probably the greatest makeshift tag team partner of all time.
Goldust and Booker T.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the list goes on and on. And makeshift tag teams, they can work. And right now, Paige and Omega are working. I mean, they're not working right now. I think they have the night off. But, you know, it works.
Yeah, and this tag team division is so stacked. Do you think that there's some teams not getting utilized as well as others?
Dean Ambrose and Evan.
The Lucha Brothers.
The Lucha, talk about that a little bit, Eric. Why don't you, don't think the Lucha Brothers, I mean, recently they really haven't.
Yeah, I thought they would be tag team champions by now, especially with Puck by their side. I thought Adam Page and Omega would be feuding right now, but I guess because of the pandemic, it all changed, possibly. I just thought they were moving in that direction with Adam Page and Omega. But they could still be moving in that direction.
I think Best Friends are going to end up being the champions after Fighter Fest.
I hope so. I like them.
I like Best Friends too, but to me they're not. They're like, what, top five? Like, the Young Bucks have to be champions at some point, even though I hate them. They have to be champions.
They will be. But right now I think that AEW wants to get mileage out of this match or out of this thing with the Revival or with FTR. I mean, if anything, if the Best Friends don't beat Hangman and Page, it's going to be FTR.
Yeah.
Because they've beaten it. Page and Omega have beaten everybody else. They beat the Lucha Brothers. They've beaten Sabian and Havoc. They beat SCU. They beat the Bucks. I think they beat Butcher and Blade. They beat Private Party.
Do they even play face Santana Ortiz yet?
I don't think they have yet. I think that's coming. They've beaten quite a few of the teams already. I mean, it's either going to be Best Friends are going to beat them, or FTR is going to get them. Because I don't think they want to give the belts to Santana and Ortiz, not yet, anyway. Because Santana and Ortiz really don't need the belts. They need Jericho.
That's true.
I think a run could do it well, though. I also think Butcher and Blade's a very underrated tag team that could do something.
Butcher and Blade, here's the thing. They're good workers. And they're Buffalo boys. So you know they're not going to go anywhere. The last Buffalo wrestler to do anything was Mikey Whipwreck.
Brody Lee was just in a main event at the pay-per-view.
Actually, he wasn't in the main event.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, no. I'm forgetting about him, and I'm forgetting about Dalton Castle. What a bastard I turned.
And that's Nugler.
Yeah, Whipwreck won stuff after Nugler did.
Yeah. Dalton Castle became the champion, or the late champion.
He did. And let's get the – because tag teams, I think, is a big division here. Let's talk about – because I think we can all agree that they've done tag teams well.
Yeah.
I think they're doing better now, but a lot of people have criticized their women's division. Clintus, what do you think's lacking in the AEW women's division?
I think more of a lack of storyline. If you look at the, it's what I look at it because you seem like you just have one random match. You crown a contender 1 week. You have a story, but it's not like a high tech like storyline like WWE actually takes the time to do.
Yeah,
right.
I can see that.
Hey, I could agree with that, too. I would also say there's a little lack of star power, too. Like, I do like a lot of the girls in there, but you don't have, like, a Trish Stratus or a Becky Lynch. There's someone to really lead the division. I think
they were leaning that way.
Getting there.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Even when these releases that happened in WWE, I don't think a lot of the women got released.
Was that Deonna Purrazzo?
Deonna Purrazzo got released. She's already been swiped up by Impact. Sarah Logan is probably not going to go anywhere because WWE is probably going to, you know, I think is probably going to, they're thinking about bringing her back. I know that because she's married to Ray Rowe of the Viking Raiders. And AEW is not going to bring in Maria Kanellis because they need talent, which she has none of.
I mean, she's good looking. Does that count?
she goes from looking like a Victoria's Secret supermodel to looking more like Ursula the Sea Witch from The Little Mermaid.
Oh wow, I disagree with that.
That voice can make you ugly real quick.
Oh.
I like that she was like a dumb though in WWE.
Oh no, she was better when she was stupid, because then like she was at least genuine, and she was kind hearted. Now she's just a fucking bitch who likes to wear her husband's penis.
Well, all right. Well,
you like women that wear penises? Really?
No.
But here's my big thing I don't really enjoy about the women's division in AEW is it's not like the lack what's the lack of star power is just that they don't want the focus around. Like you know, so if you watch all the other companies, like their part of the show is still dedicated to the women. AEW doesn't really have that like focus point. It's like they want to say they focus on the women, but you don't see that whatsoever. Instead of just having a random match just put together at the beginning of the night. There's no story. There's no, like, how to get together. Even if you look at the whole thing with Nyla Rose. I mean, Nyla Rose, if you look at her, how she became champion. She lost to Kairi Sane the first time. Then she beat her. Okay. And then she just dropped the title 3 months later to some random person. I don't know what, but they just dropped the whole thing. I mean, you had a good, you could have like built that a little bit going onto before having her just drop the belt the way she just did.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Riho, by the way, I think she's a highlight.
And I do like her, and I think she was a good first champion. But, you know,
yep.
I don't know if she was ever going to be the face of the division, you know. I think it was just a nice story. I think Sheeta, with what they're doing with her now, she could genuinely become one of the top faces of the company, at least in the female
division. Yeah, I agree with that.
She is super talented.
Yeah.
She works really hard, and her style is just hard-hitting, that Japanese style. So I really enjoy her style.
Her videos online, she's absolutely adorable. I saw the one the other day of her eating, trying a Reese's peanut butter cup for the first time. And she's just like, oh, very good, very good. Oh, I am going to hell. Between what I said earlier about Hitler and MJF, revealing that Eric likes women that wear penises, and now this about
Sheeta. No, I don't.
Sheeta.
I don't.
I can't breathe.
I gotta retire.
Doug's gonna retire. But yeah, I like her. I think, and to branch off Clint's point, to where he was talking about how WWE's got its whole, like, a sector of the show for the women, basically. AEW's kind of going towards that old mentality where you got one women's match per show, usually. And I understand because the division's not huge yet, but there's still not only star power, there's still some big additions they need to make to the women's roster. I'd say don't even sign any more men. If the next few signings need to be female.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with that.
I don't
agree with the fact. I really did not agree with the fact that Daniel's just standing over me right now, ready to give me a lap dance, but that.
What?
I do.
Gonna broke my leg.
I do think that Britt Baker getting injured might have changed a little bit of some stuff.
Oh, yeah, no, she was definitely supposed to beat Statlander. She was definitely supposed to beat Statlander. And here's the thing. Do you think that she's not well liked in that women's locker room?
I don't know. I mean, she's a good asshole on camera.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that maybe Sheeta and Statlander dropped bigums on her on purpose.
I also think I said what I said about Sheeta. I like Reed Ho, I like Sheeta. I think Britt Baker's heel turn has been the best thing about the women's division, to be honest.
Yeah.
Especially her work with Tony Schiavone.
Exactly. I love it. She's over.
I'm still waiting for the
she gets heel heat.
If she gets heel heat.
I'm still waiting for her to mention Adam Cole.
What were you saying?
I'm still waiting for her to say baby.
Here's another thing. Whatever, what's up with Awesome Kong? Like, she made her big debut. We've seen her like once or twice. And I really thought they can actually do something with the whole Brandy and Awesome Kong situation, which just totally went. I guess very
sideways.
Quinn, if we mentioned that a little bit earlier on.
Oh. Okay.
I mean, I do agree with you. Like, they had something going. The issue, and I'll say this again, the issue with that Nightmare Collective, you know, one word, Mel. And Eric will not admit to, Eric will not agree with me on this for certain reasons, but women named Mel are nothing but trouble.
Oh, God. Don't get yourself in trouble, Doug.
Oh, yeah, like she listens to this show. The only women that listen to this show are probably women prisoners.
Mom?
No.
I thought your mom listens to it.
I think we have listeners in a female prison somewhere, but that's it.
Doesn't Anna Shannon look like that?
She's upstairs. She can't fucking stand us. Was somebody trying to make a point?
No. All right. So moving, I think there's big things that they need to improve on with the women. And I think they're getting there. I think Sheeta being the champion is a great start. And I think even though her and Britt Baker had one of the best women's matches I've seen in a while, I think there's still money there. And I think there's a title feud there.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I think it's going to happen pretty soon.
When Baker is back. What is her injury anyway? She didn't tear ACL, did she?
I think it's more of a meniscus tear and a MCL tear, so I don't know. I mean, it is some knee damage. She's going to be out for a couple of months. I mean, I personally think they should have dropped Nyla on her face, could have fixed that honker. I mean, Jesus Christ, we make fun of Triple H's nose. His schnoz has nothing on that honker of Britt Baker's.
Hey.
I mean, well, Adam Cole can hang his car keys on that thing.
I'm waiting for Britt Baker's name. Britt Baker, baby.
I like Britt Baker. She's a good heel.
Yes, she is.
Does have kind of a big nose, but that's okay.
You know what? Here's the thing. She makes fun of all of Tony Schiavone's imperfections. I'm going to make fun of her. I'm sticking up for Tony. Perverts stick up for other perverts. God damn it.
Well, she's my wrestling crush, so.
Schiavone?
Is it Schiavone?
No. Wait.
Eric, give it up, man. Give it up.
No.
So as we move forward here, I think that there's a lot of things that they've done right and wrong. Doug, what's another negative you see AEW?
Negative?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't use him much anymore, so I don't know if he's necessarily a negative, but I would say Michael Nakazawa.
Yeah.
I don't get the point.
Here we go, guys.
I mean, huh?
Oh, never mind. Go ahead.
I wasn't going to say anything too bad. I mean, if you like a guy, if you like bald guys that rub baby oil all over themselves, you know, that's up to you. All right?
No. No.
I'm not saying you personally. I'm saying people in general.
Oh.
Eric, not everything is about you. You selfish prick.
Thanks, Doug.
I'm gonna get fired by the end of this show. But no, like Nakazawa to me, I don't think he could work. I mean, he was just basically he was a comedy act that to me it's more of I really think they just put him on screen just so Jim Cornette had something to justifiably rip on. Because it's just like there is no point to him. And it's got nothing to do with the person. I'm sure he's a nice guy. It's just it's got to do with his work.
Yeah, I think another negative spot, and this is something that we really this gimmick was not over, that's the Dark Order. It seems to have kind of had a resurgence with Brody Lee. Eric, what do you think was wrong with the Dark Order out the gate?
What was that segment in the hotel that Doug hated? They were bullying somebody.
Don't get me started. I'm just starting to calm down. You want me to get going again?
No. No. I'm just mentioning that. That was one of the biggest negatives. And I don't think people understood what it was, what they were doing at first.
Doug, what are your thoughts on Brody Lee joining and what they've done with the group since?
All right. You basically, you take out Kenny Lehman under a mask. And
I'll be right back.
You bring this. Eric's looking for another job as we speak. You get rid of Evil. I mean, I don't even know if they got rid of Evil Uno. I think he's still there. And if he is, that's unfortunate. But you bring Brody Lee in, you make the group better because he can actually work. Because Uno really couldn't work. Stu Grayson's fine. But Uno's just a. I swear to God. He's going to take off the mask. It's going to be revealed to be Kenny Lehman. Because all this shit that's been spewed on the internet over the last few days, I swear to God, it's Evil Uno talking.
Oh, Kenny?
Yeah. Kenny Lehman and Evil Uno are the same fucking person. Except for Evil Uno makes his bookings.
Well, now that you lost a friend, you want to make a point?
Yeah. But, like, the point is... Oh, I'm out of roll. The point is that, like, Brody Lee kind of made the Dark Order into something, not just necessarily a cult. I mean, yes, they still are kind of cult-like. Now, he's more about beating the crap out of you, not just physically bullying you. Or not just, like, bullying tactics, but really, like, he can beat the shit out of you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay? Not about scratching out the eyes of helpless people. I mean, he's stolen a world title belt. Then he got his ass kicked. But, no,
yeah.
I think definitely he made the group better. And Kenny Lehman, if you
definitely.
Are listening to this, I love you.
Yeah, I don't think that there's a question there. And I think
I love Kenny Lehman.
No, that he made the group better. And I think he's going to continue to do it. Well, let's talk about some underutilized guys. Because there's a few guys that have been kind of, I don't want to say misused, but maybe just knock out the screen time that they should. I think one of those guys is Kip Sabian. You know, he's got all the talent in the world. You also got maybe Darby Allin. I think he's definitely a future star. Who can you think of a couple others, Doug?
Joey Janela. I think Joey Janela is probably, I mean, yes, it's, you know, he's known more for, like, the hardcore style of wrestling, but he can go when he needs to.
Yeah.
And I do enjoy his work. I mean, sometimes the way he has his hair drives me nuts, but I think that might just be because I'm jealous of that head of hair. Fucking asshole. But, like, another guy, too, that you can look at is kind of, you know, underutilized. Frankie Kazarian.
The inaugural tag team champion.
Yeah, I know, but there's so much that can be. I mean, he could be a huge single star.
Yeah.
All right.
I was going to say Jimmy Havoc.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy Havoc, too. I mean, but that's why they put Sabian and Havoc together, so it could be two birds and one. I mean, Sean Spears is another one.
Yeah.
Luchasaurus.
I don't think he's underutilized, though.
No, I think his I think his best days are ahead of him. But
yeah.
But I wouldn't say
Jungle Boy.
He's been under. No, I think both of them have been used pretty well.
Yeah, I think so.
Especially Jungle Boy. But now we.
What do you think, Clint?
Talk about. Yeah, what do you think, Clint?
Thank.
So
I'm so lost.
Well,
I'll say about Jungle Boy. That's so.
Go down. What, Clint?
Hold on.
He said Jungle Boy.
Hold on. I'll be right back. Yeah, I'll be right back, guys.
Why can't he tell his relatives to go away like the rest of us do?
Go ahead, Doug.
No, let's not let him go. So, yeah, I think AEW needs to shine more lights on those guys. Who are the stars of the future? Who are the guys that are going to lead this thing into the new millennium? I got a couple of
MJF.
Mind.
Oh, God.
Sorry, Doug.
That's
MJF.
That's only for people that want to piss off Hitler.
Jungle Boy.
All right, that's better. Darby Allin.
Darby Allin. Yep.
I mean, Sabian, they can really do something with him.
I don't know. How old is Brian Cage?
Brian Cage old? Brian Cage.
What?
He's older. I don't know if he's old. But I wanted to talk about Brian Cage. Do you think that he could actually be an impact player here? Because he's got the WWE look. He necessarily... AEW is a bunch of short guys. Not trying to be a dick, but that's just the way it is. It's a bunch of great, talented workhorses, not really about having that look. Brian Cage has that look that would put Vince McMahon into a 9-day orgasm. So, can Brian Cage be successful at AEW, Doug?
Yeah, because he's got something with him that's going to, you know, that's going to help him get over. A miserable little bastard. That would be Taz.
What's his name? Okay.
I just said his name, Taz. But
I know.
When you have a miserable little bastard in your corner, you get over it. Look at Brock Lesnar. He had himself a miserable little bastard. And Paul Heyman. And it got him over because Heyman, like Taz, does not know how to shut the fuck up. And we can actually blame Heyman for Taz not knowing when to shut the fuck up. Because Heyman was the first person to shove the microphone in his face.
That's
so
true.
All right, but when you have a great promo guy, when you have a mouthpiece that can really hype up the crowd and really get people to be like, oh, we got to pay attention to this guy. Because if we don't pay attention to this guy, this piece of shit's never going to shut the fuck up. So now he has everybody's attention. And the thing is that this thing with Moxley, which I think they're blowing off way too soon. Because
yeah.
I don't know if they're necessarily going to take the title off of Moxley yet, because Moxley's still over. Unless they do a thing where Darby Allin costs Brian Cage the title.
Which I hope they do, because then I'm hoping for a non-clean finish.
I mean, yeah, I mean, they can't beat him right away, but they probably could, too. Brian Cage, I think, has a big future ahead of him in AEW, hopefully. Not really a big fan of his TNA work, but I did like him in that ladder match. Do you think that Tony Khan has delivered on his promise of bringing a sports-centric wrestling-based product to the new millennium.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing is that Tony Khan, he's a very hands-on owner, but also he listens to what people want. I mean, it also helps that he's not 104 years old like the guy that owns the other company. And
that's
he's not out of touch with reality yet.
Works.
Right. I mean, yet. I mean, it'll happen eventually. I mean, his father's out of touch with the Jacksonville Jaguars. But mainly because they haven't realized that the team sucks yet.
We'll get to that on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, we will. The only way you're going to stop me on Sunday is if somebody punches me in the throat. Don't get any ideas.
Hey, takeover
you
should be good Sunday. Takeover should be good Sunday.
That's not what we're talking about.
Oh.
Are you going
to
come on Sunday?
Daniel's trying to harass me with my own phone. Oh, yeah. Clintus, have you been paying attention to the message? Did you pay attention to any of the messages yesterday that were sent in our group chat?
That was sent. I was at work yesterday, so I have no idea. I didn't get to read them off.
All right. Well, Sunday is the start of a new show.
Okay.
We're doing two shows on Sunday, so.
Oh, okay.
Explain to what it is,
Doug. That's not my idea.
I explained it to
you. All right. No, on Sunday we're going to start a podcast. It's going to be, it's Daniel's baby. He's been pregnant for 9 years now. called the top tier podcast. And basically we're doing tier lists of different things. It's not going to be wrestling related. And this Sunday show, the debut show is going to be, we're going to tier list the all 32 NFL teams based on legacy.
Okay.
That'll be fun. Yeah. It'll be a good time.
Are you off on Sunday?
Yeah, I'll be here Sunday.
Okay. We'll tell you the times and for each show. I'll be 4 and 5:30.
Yeah. Okay.
So as we're getting towards the end here, guys, there's only a couple more topics to really get into. I think we've pretty hit the pros and cons pretty well. Do you think that the main event scene has been top notch? Do you think it's been what it needs to be? From Jericho, you know, wrestling the likes of Cody, Hangman, Omega, and the main event, and now we got Moxley as the champion. Is it too many WWE guys, or has the main event been consistently good for you? Eric.
I think of all things considered right now, I think it's been pretty good for what they have, because some wrestlers are still in quarantine, I think. So for what they have to deal with right now, and obviously with the pandemic, I think they've worked with what they had for, very well, if that makes sense.
I mean, and it does, and I do too. I mean, well, first of all, you know, you talk about pros and cons. I think the pros and cons we really revealed here, the pros and cons of this podcast, the pros being, you know, you being a good host, the con just being, you know, me. Eric's taste in women is somewhere in the middle.
How kind of?
Of course, Clintus is a pro. Of course, Clintus is a pro. Yes, Clintus, I'm just kissing up to you. But like, the thing is that like with this main event scene, you are seeing guys kind of get developed. MJF is becoming a hell of a heel.
You know, we're going to see what happens with Brian Cage. Jericho obviously established. Moxley established. Cody established.
Omega?
Omega's obviously established. Paige is getting there, and it's good that he's in this team with Omega right now.
Yeah, it's doing good for him.
Yeah. And we're going to see what happens in the coming months with Darby and MJF, and hopefully Lance Archer quits sucking ass. And hopefully, you know, Scorpio Sky should break away from SCU.
Yeah. I like to see that.
And we're going to get to see what these guys are capable of. AEW Chris Cruz is probably not going to want to hear this, so if you're listening to the show, turn the fucking thing off. AEW is going to be around for a long, long time.
Yep.
So, or at least they have the potential to be. And they have, you know, they have the right resources. So AEW is just going to continue to get better. And I don't want to hear people say, oh, well, you know, they don't have good ratings. And, you know, not even a million people watch the show. Not a lot of people like to watch wrestling anymore. Because wrestling has become such a shit show. Yeah. Well, yeah, not just the fact that we're in a pandemic, but wrestling really isn't as popular as it used to be. It's become such a shit show to where each company just has their niche fans.
Yep.
Okay. And it's
I know you
just,
don't.
What?
No, go ahead. Now say it happened.
I don't want to hear, oh, you know, the ratings are. They like where the ratings are at right now. Wrestling really isn't about ratings anymore. It's more about getting people interested in the product to where you'll watch the YouTube videos, you'll subscribe to the channel of Daniel seductively touching me again. You'll buy the merchandise. You'll go see the show when it's live in your town, you know, for the TV taping. You'll pay the $50 for the pay-per-view, which they do quarterly pay-per-view, so that's fine. So they're right where they want to be. And they're going to have figures
Definitely.
Coming out this year, for fuck's sake.
Yep. That should be fun.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say.
Or Eric.
I was going to say that UFC has taken a lot of the ratings. Cause UFC has. I know you're not going to like what I'm saying, but UFC has become more popular than wrestling.
You're right. Well, yeah, because. Because they've even gone out and said, hey, look, you know, we're real. And they are, you know, that's not, you know, scripted. These guys are really trying to beat the shit out of each other. I'll start watching when they throw Dana White's fat ass in that cage and start beating the shit out of him. Fat punk fuck.
I'll pay to watch that.
All right, well, Doug kind of already gave his, but Eric, you got final thoughts on AEW?
I'm looking forward to what they have in store for the future and the rest of this year, considering otherwise. Hopefully within the next, 6 months we have left in the year, that by the end of the year there's fans back in the seats. And not sold out, obviously, but I'm just looking forward to the feuds and storylines that we have coming up and where this is going.
Clint, do you have final thoughts?
Well, I enjoy AEW for what it is right now. I mean, you can't for everything they did in the first year, you can't fault it. They did almost everything right. They're not forcing it down your throat with the monthly pay-per-views. the storyline's been there, and they've been putting on great match after great match every time. Yeah, especially the pay-per-views. I mean, if it falls through, the only thing I'm worried about is the overuses of recycled storylines that they're trying to do. Especially having their own stars. Like, I would rather see our original AEW be a top lead company than having someone like Jericho or John Moxley. Not saying something wrong with them. No, this is your company. Don't rely on someone else's past success to help build another company. I mean, you're past that stage now. You can develop your own company. Give it to a AEW original. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I totally agree. Doug,
my final thoughts on AEW?
Okay. Yep.
Oh, I'll give my final thoughts on AEW, and then I want to address something else real quick. But my final thoughts on AEW, like I said, the company's going to be around for a while. I look forward to seeing what they're going to be able to do. And I think, you know, I do enjoy the product. I didn't think it was going to succeed at first because I thought it was just four guys that were going to try something and probably fail. But I was wrong.
Yes, you were.
Okay. I have no problem admitting when I'm wrong. Or let me scratch it. You have no problem admitting when I'm wrong.
Me too.
It's so secret.
Yeah. Eric gets way too excited over it. I'd hate to see what his walls look like in a black light. Every time I'm wrong. But like this. But yeah, no, I look forward to what they're going to do in the future, and I really look forward to seeing what these newer stars, these stars that we were just introduced to, you know, like an Orange Cassidy and a Best Friends, even though we've known who they are, but now they're known on this national scale now.
Yeah. Yep.
And Darby Allin and MJF and Jungle Boy. I'm not necessarily looking forward to what MJF's going to do unless he's going to go play in traffic somewhere. But I look forward to seeing what happens next. Now, kind of jumping off to another topic here, and I'm not going to spend too long on this, but, you know, a lot of sports shows, a lot of podcasts this week, they've been real serious. One, because of the lack of, you know, sports that there have been, but also to the stuff that's going on in our world. I don't believe in being serious. Okay. So if anybody, you know, expects us to come out here and be like, oh, you know, these guys, other podcasts have been serious this week and they've taken time to address the serious. We're not going to address serious issues unless it's serious issues we have with each other. Like, I will seriously address the issue I have with Eric's taste in women. But I know, Clint.
Wait, please explain.
Huh?
What do you mean, my taste in women? You know,
it's been the running joke for the last hour, Eric. Keep up, will you?
Oh yeah, okay. Thanks, Doug.
But, like, the thing is that everything that's going on in our world now, I do believe that there has to be a time where people just kind of, like, there has to be an escape. And I think podcasts should be that escape. And then when podcasts that really have nothing to do with current events go and talk about, you know, current events, I think that's just, like, what the fuck are you doing? I tune into you to get away from this shit. And that's what I think we try to do here. If you're tuning into this podcast expecting me to be serious, then you don't fucking know me at all. All right. because serious issues are not my thing. To me, a serious issue is whether or not I'll be able to watch Halloween Havoc 91 on the network tonight. I won't, because I have to go to bed because I have to check for work in the morning. But,
oh, that sucks.
Like, yeah, it is what it is. But like, my point is here is that I get it. There's serious issues going on in the world right now, and I don't necessarily. I agree with, you know, the rights to the peaceful protesting and all that. I'm not going to question anybody's rights. I'm not going to question anything about anybody. I mean, like we said earlier on in the show, RIP to George Floyd. It's a man whose life should not have been taken. But also, I do think people need to be kinder to one another. It's okay to ridicule somebody as long as you know that they're still going to speak to you by the end of the show. Eric, I still love you. And Kenny Lehman, obviously, you know, you're okay. But like, the thing is that we just, I mean, be kinder to each other and just accept people for who they are. That's all I'm trying to say. Just accept somebody for who they are. It doesn't matter what kind of person, I mean, unless they, you know, beat the shit out of you and then took your money and your girlfriend, then, you know, go hit them with your car. But just accept people for who they are.
All right, guys.
Yeah.
I guess we'll end it on that note. Peace, love, and positivity from the Unscripted Wrestling. From the Unscripted Wrestling group. Clintus, Eric, Doug, it's been a pleasure. We'll see you guys this Sunday.
Yep,
Sunday. Yes.
All right,
bye,
later, everybody.
Later.
Adios.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.